And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in anxious times, don't we? I mean, you just look at what's going on in the news. You go out into the neighborhood, you go out to the town square when you're with the masses of people. And I don't know about you, but I experience a lot of anxiety out there. People that are just worried about all kinds of different things. But you know, it really shouldn't shock or surprise us because of the culture in which we live today. Most deny God's existence. Most deny at least that he is creator and that he is the provider of all things. And so this morning, as we have gone through a number of different readings in Scripture from those days of creation, as God has preserved them for us, and no, this isn't mythological, this is historical. God did create everything in six 24-hour days, as he clearly reveals. And isn't it interesting how God begins his word? You think of the Almighty God, who's the living Lord from everlasting to everlasting, and there's all kinds of different ways that God could have begun his scriptures to us, his word, his inerrant word to us. He could have given all kinds of background and preparation for Genesis 1:1, but he doesn't. God just lays it out there to all that he has created with the simple words, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And right away in Scripture, God reveals to us his character, his essence, as we hear about God the Father in the initial verse of Scripture, and then shortly thereafter, we hear about the Holy Spirit, who is also there hovering over the waters during this time of creation. But the Holy Spirit is there. Then we go to the Gospel of John, and right at the beginning of John's Gospel, we hear about the Word. You know, the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, as we hear in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And you can't miss it by the context. The Word being spoken of is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. And we hear in the early verses of chapter 1 that the Word was with God, the Word was God, and that nothing was created without the Word. And so God giving clear testimony that he is one, there's only one God. There's many idols, there's many little g gods historically and currently that people have acknowledged and worshiped, but there's only one living God who remains in control of all things. And he, as he has revealed himself, is three distinct persons, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we, by his grace, are blessed to know him. And then today we heard from James chapter 1, from verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above. Think about those simple words as God, again, just lays his truth out to us. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And so God is truly the giver of all things. And in just that simple statement, God is really revealing the love of the giver. God doesn't do this as a burden, but he does it out of joy. He does it out of absolute perfect love for the world, for his creation, and more specifically, for each one of you and me here in this sanctuary this morning. He does that out of joy. He does that with the desire that we receive the gifts given and that we acknowledge the one who has given them. And certainly, whatever God gives, as he states, is good and perfect. Everything the Lord gives to us has a plan and a purpose. And it's for our good, and it's for our well-being. It's even for our happiness. as we live out our days upon this earth. And of course, the greatest perfect good gift that God has given is his only begotten Son, right? Imagine if Jesus hadn't come, if we knew nothing about the cross, if we knew nothing about Jesus fulfilling the law that we could never fulfill, and he did it as true man, and not as a burden to him. He wasn't forced to take that position, but out of love, out of perfect obedience to his Father in heaven, out of love for you and me and for people of all time, Jesus came to accomplish this marvelous work of salvation. And so we are blessed to be here on this Thanksgiving Day and recognize and acknowledge him and praise him. And it's all by the gift of faith that you and I have received through the waters of baptism, through hearing the word, that faith that grew in Kathy's life as God continued to be with her and bless her and bring her to that point of confirmation. And now fast forward just a couple more years to this point of her Bible being displayed on the altar. And what a testimony, Kathy, of your life journey of faith. But it's our story as God's people. And with that faith, we are blessed to live with peace and with joy and live with hope. You know, many people today are living lives of despair. They're thinking the world, you know, has just totally fallen apart. And they have nowhere to turn. But that's not us. It doesn't matter if the whole world is falling apart. We know that we have the rock. We know that we have the solid foundation of God's presence, his truth, his love. And all of these are these good and perfect gifts that he freely gives to us. And he does it with a great big smile, if you will, because he loves us. And then we heard that everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So Isaiah 55, and you know, if you look at the context of those words, God's people, for the most part, were running away from him. They were running after idols. They were worshiping themselves. They said, God, sorry, we've got a better plan. We've got this, and we're going to do it our own way. But God doesn't write them off in their sin and rebellion. But instead, he comes to them again and again. And it's the living word, and God is coming to you and me, sinful human beings, today, with his desire that we would continue to turn to him. And did you notice? We buy, but it costs nothing. The gospel is free. It's free to us, not to God. The cross, what a cost our Lord paid as he took all of God's wrath and punishment. But to us, it's free. And the Lord emphasizes that through the prophet Isaiah. And then we heard in 1 Corinthians 15, perhaps the greatest news of all, the victory won even over death itself, when we hear that the dead will be raised to life again. That's our future. That's our future. We've lost many loved ones over the years, and during a holiday season and special days specifically, like Thanksgiving Day, the memories come back, don't they? And we remember those precious times shared with families and friends years ago. And yet the majority of those people now have gone before us into glory. And we miss them dearly. And so there's that element of that sadness that we can't still experience those times together. But we know that time is coming. The feast in heaven. Boy, talk about a feast. Wow. You can read about it in Isaiah earlier, I think it's chapter 25. Finest of meats, the finest of wines. That's our future. And who's going to be there with us but all of our loved ones who went before us in the faith, in body and soul? As the Lord affirms to us, our bodies will be raised from the dead and they will be glorified. And so death cannot even separate us from the love of God. but we live in the victory. And so then, as we approach life, we do it as Jesus encouraged us to do again today from the gospel reading. Do not be anxious about your life. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. So God didn't just start the engine, if you will, create the car and turn the engine on and then say, okay, see you guys in several centuries from now. God didn't walk away, but he's right here. He's right here in our hearts. He's in the midst of our lives. He's fully aware every moment of every day what our needs are. And God always intervenes. He always steps in to the troubles, if you will, that we deal with in life. And he always enables us to work through them. We never are alone in this journey. But it brings us all back to that foundation of creation. You know, in closing, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I think about seeing Earth from a different perspective. And you and I have been blessed to live in a time that we've seen the video and the pictures on TV. I remember when Apollo 8 went to the moon, the first spacecraft to ever leave Earth's orbit. And that was an incredible time. And guess what? It was over Christmas. I think they were approaching the moon, actually, on Christmas Eve. And against NASA policy, here you have these cantankerous pilots, astronauts, and they're headed to the moon, and they see the moon up close and personal. And you remember what they did? They pulled out the Word of God. And they had the whole world, basically anybody that had access to TV or radio, they were tuned in. This was an incredible event. And what are they doing but they're reading the creation account? They got reprimanded when they returned to Earth. But they, you know, God doesn't go away. Even in the complexity of science like space travel. And then I remember years later, I was able to be at a seminar where Gene Cernan was there, the last astronaut to step off the moon. And I'll always remember just seeing his face and his expressions. And you know what he said? He said, I stood on the moon, and I just looked for the longest time at that beautiful blue ball of Earth. And he said, you know, whenever I saw that kind of imagery presented, it was a globe, and it was in a nice wooden frame, or, you know, one of the kind of hanging frames that we have for globes, or it was hanging from some kind of a string or a thread from the ceiling. And he said, I just stood there in awe for the longest time. Here's this beautiful blue ball in the darkness of space, and there's no framework around it. It's like, why does it stay in that perfect position? It's incredible how God, through what he has created, reveals himself. And so we say with Paul in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. May God be with you and me on this special day, and blessings, hopefully, with family and friends to be together and through the rest of our journey of faith on this earth. God bless you, and happy Thanksgiving. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Who one presents has the seventh day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done.
And we continue our worship now with the offering. And at this time, if you are able, I'd invite the congregation to stand for prayer. And at the end of each petition, as you see it printed in your bulletin, I will end the petition with, "For all your gifts of creation," and the congregation will respond, "We give you thanks, O gracious God." And let us pray. O God, from whom comes down every perfect gift and every good endowment, let all creation join to praise your goodness. On the first day you brought light, seen today in fire and photons, lasers and light shows, color and campfire, energy and everything that springs from your brightness. For all your gifts of creation, we give you thanks, O gracious God. On the second day, you graced creation with waters below and above, with the beautiful blue of the sea and the sky. And to this day, you continue to grace the world with rain that refreshes, and the snow that sends shivers, and with the atmosphere and the blessings that come down through it. For all your gifts of creation, we give you thanks, O gracious God. The gifts you granted us on the third day are land, dry and wet, deserts and bogs, canyons and cactus, valleys and vines, fruit for our eating and nuts we can shell, awesome oceans and plains of grain, the earth and all its bounty. For all your gifts of creation, we give you thanks, O gracious God. The fourth day you brought forth the heavenly lights, the beacon of the sun, the lantern of the moon, the mystery of the planets and the stars, and all the galaxies and the constellations. You balance creation with sunny days and cool evenings, seasons and years and tides and time. For all your gifts of creation, we give you thanks, O gracious God. Day five, you provided things that flap and flutter, squawk and chirp. You made whales and minnows, eagles and eggs, and everything that flies to the heights of your heavens and swims to the depths of your oceans. For all your gifts of creation, we give you thanks, O gracious God. The sixth day reveals your grand glory when you design things that creep and crawl, stalk and strut. We marvel at humans and hugs ourselves and your Son, who entered this world to make us your own again. For all your gifts of creation, we give you thanks, O gracious God. For the seventh day, when you rested, we rejoice in pillows and hammocks, mattresses and meditation, workless weekends and worship, time to recharge and celebrate your creation so that we can praise you more. For all your gifts of creation, we give you thanks, O gracious God. Let all creation join to praise your goodness and your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we now sing a version of the Lord's Prayer. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Go now in His peace. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.